Hi everyone, thank you so much for joining our Twitter space today. We're going to be talking about Sapphire, the Oasis privacy layer, as well as Web3 gaming and how it differs from traditional gaming. So I'd like to welcome our guests from Samurai Legends and Crypto Blades. Yannick and Philip, do you guys want to do a brief introduction to yourselves as well as the products that you're representing?
Yeah, sure. I'll start out. First of all, thank you for inviting us. We're very excited to talk about Samurai Legends. My name is Yannick. I come from a background of medicine. I have a bachelor in that, and I have done peer-reviewed and published research. I came into crypto, I think 2 years ago, when we created a team and started to explore Web3 gaming. And 2 years later, I'm now here to represent Samurai Legends.
Yeah, thanks so much. Excited to learn more about Samurai Legends as the space goes on. Yannick.
Yeah, so Philip Devine here, CEO of Riveted Games. We have a variety of products. Our most well-known one is Crypto Blades, and now we're also offering an entire ecosystem for gamified products to integrate all the various tools and not have to reinvent the wheel, and really use all of the same protocols that have helped Crypto Blades survive and thrive over these past 2 years. So really excited to talk about what you guys are doing with Sapphire and the whole privacy layer, which I think is going to be really game-changing for GameFi in general, and also an awesome part of Crypto Blades itself and our GameFi ecosystem. So looking forward to the discussion.
Yeah, thanks so much. So I think like probably a good place to start for a discussion on Web3 gaming is just some background on like how Web3 gaming differs from traditional gaming. Like, what are some of the challenges with connecting to a blockchain, and what are some advantages that come from probably like decentralization and things of that nature? Yannick, you want to go first?
Sure thing. And by the way, quickly noting that my colleague Matthew is here as well. He is my COO. I am the CEO, so he might answer a question or two.
Absolutely. Happy to have you here, Matthew.
Yeah.
If you want to do a brief introduction real quick, too, please do.
Yeah, sure. That would be good. Go ahead, Matt.
Thank you. Sorry, I didn't make the program, but I'm here. I have a background in teaching high school science, and I joined the team kind of first making some, introductory videos and tutorials. And anyway, now I've worked my way up to COO, and happy to be here and chat about what Samurai Legends is hoping to do with Sapphire and just the gaming space as a whole. So thanks for having us.
Awesome. Thank you for coming. So I think we were about to discuss the differences between Web3 and traditional gaming. If Yannick or Matthew, you guys want to take that?
Yeah, sure. So one of the things I usually use to explain to a mainstream gamer what Web3 can offer to blockchain gaming is ownership. And this is manifest throughout GameFi with the fact that you can own NFTs in your wallet and have a say in where it goes, and nobody can touch it. That is a game-changing element towards gaming, and something that I think still needs to we'll still need to see its success in mainstream. People will need to understand what the value and benefits of this are, but this is for me the primary game changer as towards how games can revolutionize in the future.
Absolutely. As you say, it's like it's something that everyone can see the potential, this sort of NFT and self-custody aspects in gaming, but it's still like in the early stages, and everyone's just waiting to see how it actually happens. For me personally, like the idea of composability, like that, the same way that we saw in DeFi, where you can basically build on top of NFTs, or you can take NFTs from other games and incorporate your game to bootstrap sort of an ecosystem there, or just like use or build like games on top of games, and just the interconnection between everything that is possible because of the way that blockchain works. That's like something that I'm really excited to see, and I hope we start to see like more of it coming soon. But yeah, Philip, if you want to take the answer as well, what do you think the biggest differences are in Web3 gaming versus traditional?
I think what you guys have said with respect to the effect it has on the end users and the players is definitely accurate. And what I would add from the perspective of a game development studio or just game development in general is because all of the smart chain logic lives in a decentralized place, much of which on public, non-privacy-based blockchains, you can iterate on what other people have been able to produce extremely rapidly. And we've seen that with the, you know, many flavors of decentralized exchanges. We've seen it with the many flavors of decentralized games. And I think that it rapidly impacts the creation and iteration of ideas in a way that we haven't seen since really dawn of open source. It's basically like open source plus, because you can take it and run with it. So I think that that's another huge element and one of the reasons why we've seen such rapid growth in this space due to all of the very rapid prototyping and extensions of all the existing GameFi applications.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a very interesting point, and one that I probably hadn't thought about. But yeah, it's probably super useful, especially while Web3 is in these early stages, and you know, there's still problems to be that are maybe not optimally solved or unsolved. And whenever anyone solves a problem or comes up with a new idea for how to do something, you know, it's super useful for the whole ecosystem that they can, that information can be dispersed super quickly. I am interested to see if that like sort of continues, if people continue to open source all of their code, or if, you know, as Web3 develops, we move more towards a closed system. But as of now, like the open source aspects in not just Web3 gaming, but in sort of every sector of crypto has led to rapid expansion and growth. So thank you for that. I guess the follow-up question here would be, what are the advantages, or are there any disadvantages or difficulties that you guys have found when developing? And Philip, I'll let you go first on this one.
Yeah, sure. The biggest one, again, I'll kind of come from the perspective of game development, but all of the tooling is still so immature. And it's obviously one of the reasons why we're working on making all of our tooling available to for that very reason, because we see there's a big need and also a big opportunity for us as a project that's been around for quite a while, at least, you know, with respect to blockchain, in which 2 years is kind of the equivalent of 20 years. But we still struggle with a proper even development tooling and sort of the things that you would come to expect in regular software development or game development just don't exist in blockchain. And so it takes much longer and it's much more expensive to make things that are far simpler or, you know, far less developed than in traditional gaming. So I think as we start to see those gaps be filled, you know, we'll also start to see a lot more competition with the traditional gaming field as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yannick or Matthew, if either you want to take this.
Yeah, I'll take this one. Thank you, Will. I think as Philip was saying, it's from the production side, it's also hard to hire, you know, a developers, right? You have these great game developers, but then you have to kind of onboard them into Solidity and blockchain, or you take these, you know, people who are skilled in Solidity and JavaScript, and then you're like, hey, also, like, you know, throw in some Phase or throw in some other, you know, game development tools, right? You really need a full stack to do this. From the gamer side, I think there's still so much, so many obstacles to adoption. You know, we need better onboarding systems. We need kind of a better profile system. We need a better, I don't know, all these things that people take for granted elsewhere, right? You have a common console that people are using. I mean, if most of these things are on PC, you know, still there needs to be like and I don't want to say central hubs, but we need at least standards across games, you know, to help, you know, if you onboard to one game, it should be easy to onboard to another one, and kind of so on and so forth. So we're looking forward to some advancements there, whether it's just simply socially with regards to adoption or some of these technology pieces to, you know, just make this integration easier across all games, all ecosystems.
Yeah, absolutely. The adoption, like something, I mean, I don't know, you know, if people are familiar with Steam, but I imagine they are. But yeah, things like this where it allows for easy access to find new games, download new games, create profiles, all of that is, I mean, I know there are products working on in this space, but we're still waiting for a few standardized solutions to come out and to create like an unfractured ecosystem. So I completely agree. So now that we've gone over some of these problems, difficulties in gaming, as well as some of the advantages, can you guys maybe try to explain what your project is, what some of your goals are, and how you're going about doing this now? We'll start with Philip, or Yannick, actually.
Thanks. So we're building a game called Samurai Legends, and the best comparison is we're basically trying to build EVE Online on blockchain technology in feudal Japan. That is what we are creating. And for those that do not know EVE Online, it's a sci-fi MMORPG, massive multiplayer online role-playing game. But our game Samurai Legends is focused on the grand strategy elements, for instance, creating armies, conquering lands, etc. And this also includes ownable NFTs like units, as well as equipment, lands. Those are integral elements of the game. The first question you asked is what is like technology that benefits like building this type of game? And I was reminded of something that is not widely known, but like the typical MMORPG like World of Warcraft is not really an MMO, meaning not everybody is in the same game, in the same universe. There are instances, there are servers, they are compartmentalized. It's not really one space. There are only very few MMORPGs, real MMORPGs. One of them is, I reference EVE Online, where everybody really is on one server. And why is that? Because it's really difficult to get that amount of players and that amount of data on one server layer. On blockchain technology, this is the opposite, actually. You can create an environment on a single instance, and that is a real benefit. And that's something that has not yet been explored in any gaming project thus far to a large scale. Really gives us the opportunity to create a virtual nation where everybody really is in the same environment, experiencing the same world. That's what we are building.
Awesome. Yeah, that sounds exciting. And I like the idea of creating sort of NFT units as well as land. I'm interested to probably learn more about how these NFTs interact, like when they die, do they have like health and the combat and taking over areas, is it like player versus player, or is it
that's a great question. To clarify, it is player versus player, meaning that there is a combat game that we are making and actually already are alpha testing right now with a small team of testers, which is basically an instance that if two warbands, so two small armies, collide, they come into this PvP instance, which is off-chain, meaning that the game is played, you got a player versus player, you have to place your units strategically and try to outsmart the opponent. And when you win, you get their loot, you take away their treasure, essentially, and you can move on and try to harass other warbands, essentially. So, just to clarify, a warband consists of units, and these units can, for instance, be samurai, can be archers, ninjas. We have, I think, about 12 units in total, 12 different unit types.
Very interesting. That sounds like a fun game, and I'm sorry to say I have not checked it out yet, but I'm excited for your development, and hopefully I'll be playing it soon. So Crypto Blades, maybe you as well. What are some of the goals and aspects of your game that you're trying to grow and accomplish?
Yeah, so even from day one with Crypto Blades, our goal was to create an entirely on-chain game, partly because by doing so, we allow every aspect of the game and ecosystem to benefit from the ownability and transferability and earning potential of the crypto ecosystem. So because all of our characters and items live on chain, all of those can be traded, all of those can be used for earning in various ways. And how that has developed from the very first version of Crypto Blades, which was released in May of 2021, where it was basically just buy an NFT, click on combat, and then that combat was awarded a certain amount of our native skill token. Since then, it's grown to a very large ecosystem and very large player base across 8 different chains, where we have 60,000 monthly active users across all of our chains. And users can do a variety of things now. Like, for example, we have a completely on-chain questing system, which is open to going out and discovering any kind of NFT, sort of a find and retrieve quest. We also have built our own technology for utilizing and moving and transferring all of the NFTs. So for example, our own NFT bridge, our own NFT marketplace, our own token bridge. That's actually been probably one of the keys to our success, because our players don't have to wonder where to go to do certain things. They can just do it all within this one ecosystem, which sort of transitions into what we're offering now, which is any game that just wants to build the gamified experience, of which there's a lot of really cool, just like what Samurai Legends was just describing, that they can work on building that amazing experience and then have all of the NFT and token and reward systems and mobility all handled to the point where our end goal is that the players don't even have to know or realize that their assets are living on the blockchain. They can just benefit from earning. They can benefit from transferring. They can benefit from all being on one server, which I think was a really cool thing that the Samurai Legends team was describing. So that's really kind of our end goal, is our players sort of are in front row seats to this ecosystem and have helped us build it along the way and benefited from it. And now they get to see that be utilized across 40, 50, or the next 100 blockchain games that build on top of the technology that we've built.
Yeah. I think what you said about, you know, sort of the end user not even like recognizing that they're interacting with the blockchain. I think that's, you know, sort of the key to expanding the Web3 gaming space and getting, you know, the next 10x, 100x users on board, is to really abstract the blockchain aspects away through better tooling, through these ideas that we talked about earlier, in order to create like a more seamless game experience. You know, that's really what I think, at least when I play blockchain games, that when you're asked to make transactions in MetaMask, that's not that is an issue or anything like that, but it sort of pulls you away from the experience for a moment. It doesn't allow you to really, like, I guess, like, just like have the suspension of reality or any of those other things that we find from traditional gaming. So I applaud you for you know, having this goal and making it a focus for your project. But to speak to something that both of you guys just talked about, we sort of focused on NFTs, and we can see that NFTs are sort of a bedrock of the Web3 gaming ecosystem in both gameplay as well as in the ability to earn rewards and just have liquidity for in-game items and assets, you know, all these exciting things. I'd like to take the moment to just explain Sapphire, the latest Oasis network. So Sapphire is the first confidential EVM. And the reason I'm bringing it up today is because part of what is possible on Sapphire is the ability to hide or have confidential NFTs. NFTs which essentially have hidden metadata or stats that only the user can see, or, you know, only I guess a permission group of people can have access to. So maybe, you know, everyone in combat can see the stats while they're in combat or something like that. I was wondering if you guys could, you know, speak to this idea of confidentiality in gaming, and why it might be important to your protocols.
Yeah, I can take this for Samurai Legends. So confidentiality, like Yannick mentioned, the very turn-based player versus player, you know, my team versus your team, you know, combat experience is handled off-chain, right? And part of that's because, you know, we want real-time, you know, I'm able to click through it real-time. If we were waiting for transactions to pass, you know, we might be playing that little instance forever. But also part of that is confidentiality, right? I can't let the player know what decision I'm going to make before I do it. In terms of integration with Sapphire, two large game aspects that we're looking at doing, like Yannick said, we want everybody on the same game server, right? We want everyone, you know, everyone's position on the world map to be somehow recorded on the blockchain. And so one of the things we want to use Sapphire for is to create a sort of fog of war aspect. So, you know, instead of being able to say, you know, I can see that Yannick's army is, you know, over there, so I'm going to go a different route. I won't be able to see anyone, you know, until I'm within so many squares of them. You know, I'm within a certain range, and then I get access to, you know, who's around me. So I think having, especially since we're a strategy game, having several layers of confidentiality really add to the strategy. We need certain things to be unpredictable like that, or to be secret or strategic in that way. You know, I might send scouts forward to, you know, scout ahead, you know, and they might get beaten up, but at least I know, you know, my main army isn't going to run into that. So fog of war is a big aspect. And then also in our grand strategy, there's a lot of political strategy, a lot of political gameplay. And so we have clans. And so we want all clan activity to be done in Sapphire on a privacy chain so that, you know, you don't know what they're voting on, how they're voting, you know, what decisions they're making, so that you only, you know, when you see them in game taking over your province, like, yeah, then you know that that's what they decided. But we want, you know, decisions like that to happen privately. And like you said, permission data, right? So everyone in the clan knows who's in there. Everyone knows what the vote is. You know, maybe some votes are private, so you only see the result. But we'd like, you know, the ability for them to work secretly, you know, for only, you know, when they finally put their plans into action, then it's made public.
Yeah, that those are some great use cases, and ones that I often talk about. Probably discuss it a bit more as later on in the space. But Philip, if you want to also chime in on this topic.
Yeah, definitely. So one of the really cool things that has come to mind as from both the game side and the platform side is there's always been these limitations in what we can do because everything is readable and open. And it would be great to have some aspects such as even something as simple as a lottery where users can have assurance that the smart contract that's deployed is handling a lottery in a fair way. But then additionally, when you sort of even take it back a step further, we're already on 8 different chains and we're planning on going onto more chains, but we can essentially offload all of the privacy focused features directly to Sapphire for all of the chains and then offer as a platform this entire privacy focused set of tools for all of the game projects that end up integrating our tool set. And so I think looking at it from the perspective too of this isn't just for projects that are integrating on Sapphire itself. You can even look at it from, our ecosystem and all the other ecosystems that are and protocols that are going to integrate, that you can think of it like them having an entirely a separate feature set that's enabled by privacy, by the privacy layer, and that this can be integrated cross-chain across many protocols all over the blockchain ecosystem. So that's sort of the really cool sort of bigger picture that comes to mind for me.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think like what we're talking about is like, I guess you would call it like confidential gaming logic. And as you guys said, like right now, it hasn't really been possible in the blockchain space until Sapphire. And so we're really excited about the areas that this can expand gaming in both user experience and sophistication. Before we leave the move to the confidential gaming logic topic, though, I'd like to just expand a bit on the idea of confidential NFTs, which I guess is a subset of confidential gaming logic. But what I think is like one of the really cool aspects is, and maybe it's not something that you guys are looking to for your game, but is this ability for hiding the stats or the data associated with an NFT. So for example, something that comes to mind with Samurai Legends or any sort of battling type game is the idea of like hiding the power of an enemy's army or something of that nature by hiding the stats of their NFTs. So you can't really know like if you're going to win a battle or not beforehand. I know I think we talked about this in the fog of war aspect of like where units are placed, but I think you can go even further than that by hiding the stats of an NFT, or maybe like creating like a power, like they're level 5, right? But you don't know like where their strengths are on level 5, especially in games where there are sort of strategies and counter strategies and stuff like that. I think it's important to have the ability to hide necessarily what their weaknesses are and what their strengths are. Is this something that you guys have looked into? It's like the confidential aspect of the NFTs and maybe hiding stats of units or something along those lines?
So yeah, in designing the game, we specifically tried to address everything with the standard that we had. So excluding most of the privacy elements. So if we were to build the PvP game on-chain, this would be a necessity of some sort. I also see various use cases for other games regarding confidentiality of NFT metadata. But yeah, in our current design, we have not. I don't see a use case real quick. But yeah, maybe Matthew, you have a thought where we could introduce this kind of aspect?
Yeah, I was going to say so. There's a couple layers here. There's not kind of a exact, this army will be that army. Our PvP combat has a lot of strategy to it, and so you might try to figure out another player's strategy based on you know, what units they have, what abilities those units have. And so, you know, as long as we can keep those secret, so you could see a, you know, with the fog of war, you see another war band, you know, a small army coming towards you. And, you know, but you don't know exactly what units are in that war band. You just know that there's five, you know, or you don't know exactly which ones. Or even if you can see them, you know, maybe you see, you know, there's three samurai and two archers, but you don't know, like, you know, which abilities they have and things like that. So, no, I do think there's space for that. But also, as we're saying, there's certain things that will happen in, you know, within this mini game server to play, you know, one versus one combat, that will, you know, in itself, allow for, you know, us to not show our hands, when we're fighting.
Yeah. 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 No, that makes sense. Yeah. As you say, like the sort of fog of war and the positioning, matters more, at least in your game. And so I think that it makes sense to focus on the privacy aspect and the strategy aspect of that feature. But hopefully, you know, as Web3 expands, you know, these ideas of confidential NFTs, you know, can be explored a bit more. The other sort of thought I've had is, like, you know, connecting like lore or quest details with items. So even if you have the same item, you know, the history of that item or the lore that item tells you about, or, you know, the quest it maybe gives you insights on, you know, is entirely different or something along those lines. And I think that's like a really interesting way of creating like a personalized NFT, or personalized items in game, in order to, you know, yeah, give each user a different experience, even if they're sort of completing the same quests or, you know, going through the game in the same way. But yeah, maybe, you know, something to explore at a later date. But as of now, I want to move on to some of the other topics that we've talked about thus far, which is confidentiality, in the gaming logic, as well as, you know, sort of cross-chain interoperability. So take this moment to explain our latest sort of product, which is the Oasis Privacy Layer. The Oasis Privacy Layer is essentially a way to use Sapphire to offload confidential computation by using cross-chain messaging, as well as relayers to create seamless user experience. So the basic idea is that, you know, games don't have to deploy, you know, the entire game natively to Sapphire. You know, a lot of projects exist on many chains or one chain where, you know, they already have a very large user base, they already have network effects, they have liquidity for all their items and that sort of thing. And so migrating to new chains does not necessarily expand the opportunity or the user base of the game, but what is beneficial is the ability to essentially send messages to Sapphire, do the confidential computation on Sapphire, and then send a message back that allows them to sort of have settlement or you know, a verified result from the computation that was done on Sapphire. So in my head, you know, something that this could look like is a battle in a game or a quest where once it is completed, if you were the winner of the battle or if you have successfully completed the quest, a message gets sent back to Polygon or Binance Smart Chain or something along those lines, where you can claim your NFT reward or, you know, some on-chain reward sort of seamlessly, where the user doesn't even know that essentially they left their origin chain while they were doing this part of the game that required confidentiality. And I really think that that's like an interesting approach, because as we've already spoken about thus far, it's like the ability to abstract the user away from the blockchain aspect, as well as to create seamless user experiences. So yeah, I guess that's about all the background information I wanted to give. But I wanted to get your opinion on the Oasis Privacy Layer and you know, how it might be beneficial for your games and why, and if so, like, what aspects of it you like, it, you find the most exciting? Yannick or Matthew?
Yeah, I'll start. Great question. Without reiterating everything, I think it is good to emphasize, especially the clan mechanic we are building, which basically needs a privacy layer. So it's a clan is a DAO, and voting takes place. And voting means that certain decisions are automatically implemented or are communicated. And this privacy layer is a sheer necessity, especially if you want everything on chain. So yeah, I just want to emphasize that it's something that we need, and we're really happy to learn that Oasis offers this. But yeah, further looking at, for instance, the fog of war element, yeah, there are many things that are difficult when building a blockchain game. Many things, yeah, you have to try to engineer it in a more challenging way than you would if you were to make a mainstream game. But yeah, I mentioned the aspect that you don't need a server and that you can build a world on a single, in a single instance on the blockchain is really a benefit that we want to tap on. And yeah, you need that privacy layer in order to keep confidential where other players are. So it is a necessity and also enables us to build something with relative ease, if that makes sense. So yeah, we are very excited to learn that we can build on Sapphire while not having the need to migrate. So it's only a big bonus, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, you know, the aspects that, you know, at least we're trying to demonstrate at Oasis, as well as, you know, we hope that the Web3 gaming community really understands, is that I think it's something that we talked about earlier, is that, like, right now, if you want privacy, essentially, the only way to have done it so far is to take things off chain. But when you take things off chain, you sort of lose what makes a Web3 game a Web3 game, which is like the decentralized, trustless nature of everything. And so, you know, for games like card games, as well as probably anything that involves battling or you know, quests or riddles of that kind. There's been this trade-off where they lose the decentralization in order to enable privacy, and we're excited to say that, like, you know, what we, or like the, I guess in summary, what the Oasis privacy layer allows for gaming is it allows this trade-off to no longer have to be made. Essentially, products can now both have the high integrity, trustless nature of the blockchain while keeping things private, which is I guess, like, know, a large step forward for the future of Web3 gaming. Happy to have you back, Philip. So we were just talking about the Oasis privacy layer and interoperability in between, I guess, like, maybe not interoperability, the right word, like the ability essentially to not have to migrate from all of your gaming logic to Sapphire and only put on the confidential computation aspects to Sapphire. I was wondering if you wanted to speak to this and what maybe the benefits are for your project as well as Web3 gaming as a whole.
Yeah, definitely. I was kind of touching on this a little bit before, but I think it's great that there isn't this need, for example, to have everything residing in this privacy layer. And to instead allow a lot of the benefits of having various aspects of blockchain be open. You know, another great example, because I very, very much am excited about the open nature for builders. And one of the really cool things that we've experienced in CryptoBlades is we've had so many tools written and developed by our community members, you know, of varying levels of skill. And everybody can basically just get started by pulling some data, creating different tools for people to have a better experience within our ecosystem. I bring it up a lot, but a great example of this in Web2 is Roblox, where even my son, who's 9, has, you know, created his own Roblox game simply by modifying templates, which, as we, you know, as we all can sort of make the connection there, it's very similar to smart contracts, right? Where you can pull a smart contract and make some modifications and put it back out there. And so there's still that the benefit of the open data and the open development, right? And then that doesn't have to, no longer has to be only a detriment from the perspective of, you know, a lot of times, like with most things, you want some things to be public, but not everything to be public, right? You know, I want the siding on my house to be public, but I don't necessarily want, you know, my bathroom to be public, right? So we see this in so many different areas of our lives, and the same can definitely be said for blockchain. And to kind of elaborate a little bit on what I was thinking with our tool set that we're making available is, you know, people want to know that our bridging or that our NFT marketplace, you know, they want to see the logic there and they want to be able to verify that. But then in other cases where, you know, the users don't want either their information to be shared, or we don't want certain information to be shared to everybody, those are the things that really it's a matter of a consensus among the end users, right? Are they okay with this information being private? And so it does bring up some new problems as far as what we make private and what we keep away from the users. But that being said, I think it's going to open up a whole new world for gaming in general, because now this is finally available through Sapphire.
Yeah. It's as you say, it opens up new problems, but these are sort of good problems to have, right? They're problems of choice. And, you know, my sort of perspective has always been that the more options, the more tooling, the more just like different ways that things can be done, the better and the faster Web3 will grow. It allows for more tailored user experiences, so developers can, you know, choose what trade-offs they want to make for their user base, or their users can voice what trade-offs they would like to be made for their specific game, as well as the sophistication of games, you know, and smart contracts greatly expands, you know, just like in terms of it offers more flexibility and more iteration and more I guess complex, yeah, sophisticated is the right word, gaming logic, so that issues that I guess developers might have ran into before that were hard to solve, well, now at least there's like more options for solving those problems. And then in terms of the user data stuff, yeah, I think we talked about earlier like the idea of creating like profiles in gaming, and like I think I brought up the Steam marketplace. So yeah, I mean, I think that's another really large aspect that probably Sapphire can be leveraged for, is just this idea of creating profiles where there's potentially like sensitive user information that they don't want to share, but is also useful in, you know, a game marketplace or something along those lines. I guess just pause there, see if you guys have any extra thoughts before moving on to our next questions, if there's anything you want to add or anything like that. Okay, cool. Well, thank you guys so much for your input on the privacy layer and Sapphire and confidential gaming as a whole. But this does bring up, I guess, the idea of, you know, what's next, what's in the future. So I'd love if you could share some thoughts on what are some future technologies or capabilities that you're looking forward to in Web3 gaming, and what would be beneficial for your projects. Matthew?
Thanks. I think one that we're seeing being developed currently, you know, in terms of just in general blockchain technologies, these zero knowledge rollups. I am, especially since we're on the BNB Smart Chain. I've definitely been following the progress of the zero knowledge BNB, ZKBNB chain, or the whatever rollups that they're offering. I'm hopeful for some more development there, so that we can even further simplify the user interaction, where you can, for anyone not familiar with zero knowledge rollups, you have this idea of this rollup idea is that you're taking all of these interactions, all these transactions, and kind of rolling them up into a single transaction. So it cuts down on a lot of gas fees, which simplifies the user experience. I think that's one of the big roadblocks is, the gamers hate games that require a lot of microtransactions, and that's what gas fees are on blockchain. It's a microtransaction for everything you're doing. So I'm looking forward to further developments in these kind of zero knowledge rollups. And then with zero knowledge, we could spend a whole hour talking about what zero knowledge is, but these rollups, I think, is the main focus there. And then, as I mentioned earlier, I'd like to see more of a standard across games. And so it's less of a technology thing. And I think we have the technology. We just have to have someone has to make a standard that we all implement, similar, maybe it's through ENS, the Ethereum name system, where everybody has a certain profile and everyone integrates it. So if I'm, Crypto Penguin in Samurai Legends, I could also be Crypto Penguin in Crypto Blades and, any other Web3 game I'm playing. I'd like to see developments there as well. I think that'll help us and help the whole space a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. I never even really thought about zero knowledge rollups, like in the aspect that they might be able to reduce, microtransactions. Definitely, like in terms of scalability, decreasing the cost, which is important for if we want to, make Web3 games playable for the average user. But yeah, this idea of rolling up transactions, potentially, being able to, design for, 10, 20, maybe 100 transactions, in one sort of batch, that's going to, I think, be a massive benefit for the user experience. And again, just everything that we've talked about so far, abstracting the blockchain away. I will, maybe take the time to just talk about zero knowledge rollups for a second, because I think a lot of people in the Oasis community, as well as this, maybe the broader crypto community, sometimes ask like what the Oasis approach is in comparison to zero knowledge rollups, and so I would just like to maybe differentiate it a bit. So zero knowledge rollups essentially are a way to, well, that zero knowledge proofs are a way to verify information without necessarily disclosing where the information is verifiable from. And so it's great for things like scaling, as well as, potentially creating like anonymous transactions and things of that nature. Whereas Oasis uses a different approach based on trusted hardware. And achieves confidential computation somewhat differently. And the major advantage is essentially like generalized smart contract computation. So everything that we've talked about so far, things like battling and real-time strategy and things of that nature, where data has to be confidential while being aggregated, is really what I think Oasis brings to the confidential computation space. When aggregating a lot of private data or a lot of private information, zero knowledge rollups can get expensive or even like prohibitive on the tech side. Whereas on Oasis, on Sapphire, not only is it possible, but it requires like sort of no change in development for facility developers. It's the same as building that same aspect on a 100% transparent blockchain. So yeah, anyway, I'm happy that you brought it up and just wanted to give some more sort of insights into what the confidential computation that exists on zero knowledge rollups as well as Oasis is. But I also want to give Yannick some time to also explain what his interests are in the future technologies of Web3, and what would be beneficial for the crypto blades.
Sure, Philip here, by the way, from CryptoBlades. But one area that is, I think, particularly interesting is in decentralized storage. So, you know, currently you can store kind of a little bit of information, and there's protocols and there's blockchains that are being built around this. And right now, it's not exactly feasible especially from something like a gaming perspective, where you need to have access to at times rather large assets. And if those are living in a centralized place, then there is no possibility of actually, you know, owning that metadata as well as the actual data that's on chain. And on top of that, I think even in general, this will start to open up even more complex applications to being stored on the blockchain because, you know, for those that aren't aware, on really any EVM compatible chain, at least, there's very, very strict requirements for the size of a file even that you can upload to the blockchain and the size of a function that you can run on the blockchain. And so as we start to see computing space increase and storage increase, we're going to start to see more complex applications that are able to live on the blockchain. And that's, I think, going to continue to make things more flexible for developers and also allow for more powerful applications to run on the blockchain itself.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, the ability to, I think it's actually very similar to the Oasis privacy layer idea. It's sort of like this modular approach to applications, right? You know, there's all of these things that are needed to create more sophisticated smart contracts. And so, yeah, so maybe offload, privacy to Oasis, and maybe offload storage to, their IPFS, but hopefully, you know, increasing the capacity of what can be done on IPFS or maybe, some of these networks that are built on top of it, like I think Crust, for example, or data availability layers like Celestia. You know, I think this is like sort of the next stage in blockchain development is all of these different components, which can exist interoperably, but like sort of are not, you know, native to one chain, but more, you know, can be accessed from any chain and help those products scale, as well as to build more sophisticated smart contracts. And also, I just want to apologize for mixing up some of the names during this entire Twitter Spaces. I've never been the best with names and often rely on the Twitter profiles. So hopefully no hard feelings about that, Philip and Yannick. But I think, you know, we've gone through sort of our agenda for gaming. I think we've talked about a lot, and we've seen a lot of, you know, what the future of gaming is, what the current problems are, and how privacy can be useful in the future of gaming. So I did want to take this time to allow both of you guys to talk about any upcoming events or campaigns from your projects and sort of do your shameless plugs for your ecosystems. So maybe Yannick first.
Yeah, I'll start out with my shameless plug. We are currently in the process of launching our PvP. We're busy with the alpha testing, and our PvP is coming out over the coming months. Also want to note that there are a lot of launches in the near future, and if you follow the project closely, there is likely in the near future going to be a sale that gives you a great opportunity to enter the ecosystem in terms of NFTs, get into the ecosystem and be able to participate in everything that it entails.
Yeah, so I imagine the best way to keep up to date with all of those upcoming events would be following you on Twitter. Do you also have a Discord, Telegram, and where can they find the links to all these?
We basically live for the most part on Telegram. Following our Twitter will give you all the information that you need. But our Telegram is /somewhere legends, and there you can find our community who is very active and participate.
Awesome. Philip, what's next for you and CryptoBlades?
Yeah, so we are, for one, excited to begin implementing some privacy-focused features on Sapphire, because as I mentioned, it's going to really open up a lot of doors for CryptoBlades, but as well as the GameFi ecosystem as a whole. And then on that front, if anyone on this space is a developer yourself and you're looking to sort of fast track your development or free up some of your space to work on the actual game side of things and not have to develop all of the variety of different protocols yourselves, we have some integrations that are available to just help speed up that process. And for example, within 2 weeks, you guys can be live on 8 different chains with an NFT marketplace integration, token bridging, NFT bridging, tokenomics as a service, and a variety of other pretty cool on-chain incentivized features that's completely integrated by us. So just kind of putting that out there as a plug, feel free to, reach out via DM here on Twitter or feel free to reach out to English or Carly Chan, who are both listeners right now, and we'd be happy to onboard you guys. So there's kind of my shameless plug on the ecosystem side, and it's been really fun chatting with everyone.
Yeah, thank you so much. Hopefully anyone who's live in the audience, please follow them on Twitter and to keep up to date on everything that's going on, as well as, what their potential Sapphire developments and timelines look like. On the Oasis side, just to keep everyone in the loop, we'll be having a few Twitter spaces coming up. So I think one next week on the 14th, we'll be having one with the Universal Privacy Alliance. Then on the 21st, we'll be having one with Whale Talk. And this is all gearing up to our sort of large ETH Denver campaign, where we'll be having, we're a sponsor. We'll have a booth at the event, so please come say hi if you're at ETH Denver, as well as the Universal Privacy Alliance Mini Summit on February 27th, the Developer Breakfast on March 3rd, and a workshop on how developers can start integrating the Oasis privacy layer into their projects on March 1st. So lots of events coming up. If you want to attend any, or keep up to date with what everything going on, just follow Oasis on Twitter. And thank you guys so much for coming today. It's been a pleasure. Hopefully we'll talk with you all again soon.
Thanks, Will, for hosting us. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you, Will. You were great.
Thanks a lot, Will.
Yep. Have a great day, everybody. Talk to you later. Bye.